This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
Do you remember the story I told you last week, which I called Mission of Mercy? It concerned human blood of a particularly rare group. So rare that in Britain, there are only some 20 people listed on the panel of special donors who possess that group. The story told you how the search for a supply of this rare blood was conducted throughout a number of European capitals. But as these capitals were blacked out by fog, the blood so desperately needed to save the lives of newly born twins was brought across the Atlantic from New York City by a jet airliner. When I first heard the story of this mission of mercy, I was so fascinated by it that it's always remained vivid in my memory. So I thought it might be an excellent idea to tell you about the medical twins themselves and their desperate fight to survive.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
You're next, Mrs. Harrison. Will you come this way, please?
Yes, of course.
This way, please. Doctor's waiting for you.
I don't know why I'm feeling so nervous. I mean, I've had babies before.
Then there's absolutely nothing to worry about, is there? Here you are.
Come in, Mrs. Harrison. Please sit down.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor.
I'm so glad you were able to come and see me before I go on holiday.
Yes.
Because I've got some rather special news for you.
Special news?
Special good news, Mrs. Harrison.
Oh.
And not only are you going to have a baby, as I don't have to tell you, do I? But you're going to have two of them.
Twins?
Yes, twins. No doubt about it at all.
Oh, I never thought. Oh, I wonder what Charlie will say.
Knowing your husband, I should think he'll be delighted. Not every man can boast to his mates at work that he's the father of twins.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, it'll be an awful expense bringing them up.
Yes, but it'll be worth it, won't it? By the way, Mrs. Harrison, talking of your husband, I wonder if you'd tell him that I'd like to see him in the next day or two.
See Charlie? Or whatever for? I mean, well, he's done. Well, it isn't anything to do with him anymore, is it? Well, not well medically.
Mrs. Harrison, you and your husband have only recently come to live in Worcester.
Yes, but...
I'm afraid you didn't bring very full medical records with you from Cannock.
It's going to be all right, isn't it?
Oh, of course it's going to be all right. Look, Mrs. Harrison, you really mustn't start getting nervous about anything. There's absolutely no reason for you to do so.
But why do you want to see my husband? Are you going to examine him?
No, not examine him. All I want to do is find out what his blood group is.
Charlie's blood group? What's that?
Well, it's a little complicated, but I'll try and explain it to you. Now, as I'm sure you know, we've all got blood in our veins, in our bodies, which belongs to one of a number of specific blood groups.
Dr. Condon tries to set Mrs. Harrison's fears at rest by explaining to her in the simplest terms that she is a very special patient because she possesses blood of a certain group. And it's vitally important to know which group her husband's blood is. You see, one of the reasons that the woman's blood is examined at her first visit to an antenatal clinic is to determine the group it belongs to. Now, about 85% of women contain in their blood a certain antigen, rather like a substance contained in the blood of the rhesus monkey. These women are classed as rhesus positive. The other 15% are called rhesus negative. Now, if the father himself is rhesus positive, then the baby may be rhesus positive too. If in such a case, the mother happens to be one of the 15% who are rhesus negative, then the blood of the mother and her baby are incompatible. And this can mean that when the child is born, it may die, unless all of its blood is removed and replaced by blood from a suitable donor. This type of transfusion is known as an exchange transfusion.
Hello?
You sent that specimen of Mr. Harrison's blood over to the path lab, did you?
I sent it over yesterday morning, Doctor.
Have we heard from them yet?
No, not yet, Doctor. Unless the report came in when I was away this morning.
No, it didn't. I think I'll give them a ring. Path lab, Dr. Condon here. That blood specimen we sent over to you yesterday, number 7374, Harrison, Charles. Yes, that's it. And I wondered if you could let me have the result now. Yes. Yes, I see. Yes. Thank you.
Rhesus positive, Doctor?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
And Mrs. Harrison is negative?
Yes.
The risk to Mrs. Harrison's first baby, while it was a fetus, was small. But in each succeeding pregnancy, in which the fetus is rhesus positive, the antibodies in this mother's blood increase, and with them, the risk to the fetus. Now, as Mrs. Harrison has rhesus negative blood, and her husband rhesus positive, her blood is tested for antibodies every month, from the 6 months of pregnancy onwards.
Path lab? Yes, Dr. Condon here. That's right, the antibody check, Mrs. Harrison. Number 7349. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, I see. No, it's not so good, is it? Yes. Yes, we just have to keep at it. Thanks again, as always. Another 4% increase, nurse.
Oh, that's not so good, is it?
No, I'm afraid it's not. It's not very good at all. There's not very long to go now. We're going to have to start planning what we're going to do when those twins are born. Planning well in advance. We can't afford to be caught out.
I've just thought of something, Doctor.
Yes, I know. That exchange transfusion up in Scotland the other day. Exactly the same sort of case. Except that we've got twins to cope with.
Yes, but...
I think I'll take tomorrow afternoon off.
Well, you could do with the rest.
It won't be a restness. You know me better than that. Now, I thought I'd get the car out and buzz over to Birmingham for the afternoon.
To the Regional Blood Transfusion Center.
That's right. Dr. Heimer. I think the best thing is to put him in the picture right away. He's got so many other calls on blood from his special donors. And, of course, it never rains, but it pours. So we might as well get our claim in as early as possible. So I thought the best thing, Dr. Heimer, was to put you in the picture as soon as possible.
Yes, my friend, you did right, you did right. I wish every doctor was as far-seeing. You won't believe the demands we get here sometimes. People, they end up in the middle of the night and casually ask for special blood. By the gallon. In the same way you ring up the grocer and order an extra box of groceries to see you over a long weekend.
Some chaps never learn, do they?
And, of course, we do our best. We always try to do that. But sometimes, well, sometimes it just is not possible. After all, we are human, are we not? We are not workers of miracles.
Oh, I don't know about that. From what I've heard, you and your staff seem to be in the habit of pulling off the odd miracle from time to time.
We are going to need R2 blood.
Yes.
You know how rare that is, my friend?
You said it was like gold.
It is more rare even than gold. On the panel of special donors, there are listed only 20 people in the whole of the British Isles who possess that blood.
Only 20?
Only 20. That is not many donors, is it? Then, because winter has now come, other factors complicate the overall pattern.
In what way?
Doctor, we are in the grip of a particularly severe winter. There's a good deal of this virulent Asian flu in this part of the country.
Yes, I hadn't thought of that.
Apart from the usual winter ills that afflict most people at this time of the year, ordinary influenza, bronchitis, and so on, yes, we can just pray that none of our special donors with R2 blood are suffering from any of these diseases.
Yeah.
I'd better get the list. We can look at it briefly to see what the overall geographical pattern is.
The geographical pattern?
My friend, we agreed it was winter time, did we not? It is the worst winter we have experienced for some years. In an English winter, what happens? We have fog, we have snowstorms, we have blizzards. So, Rare blood is one thing. Finding a special donor and bleeding him, that is one thing. But getting that special blood to its destination in an emergency, in an English winter, that is another. Yeah?
I'm afraid I'm being particularly dense today, Dr. Hyman. That's something else I haven't thought of.
No matter, my friends. This is what I'm here for. Now, the list of special donors. Here it is, yes. Now, my friend, let us see where we stand with the bones of our miracle, yes? Yes, here. Now, let me see, Mrs. Carlyle, a housewife in London. The North London Blood Transfusion Receipt of that. Dr. James, excellent man. Mm-hmm. Rogers, Crofter in the Outer Hebrides. See what I mean, my friend, when I talk about the geographical pattern?
I'm beginning to get the message.
Another two in London. One, Saunders down in the West Country. Truro, you see? The one in Birmingham. Yes, we'll bleed him here in Hagley Road. Now, what else? Yeah, two in Scotland. Distance again. Well, the sooner we start, the better. As our American friends say, we're fresh out of R2, R2. We've had a number of calls on it recently.
Yes, I know. That exchange transfusion in Scotland.
Ah, yeah. That and other calls. But we shall manage, my friend. You have made things as difficult as you could have done for us. But we shall see. We shall see.
I've bled Mr. Johnson.
Excellent, Alison. We proceed.
But I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you.
Then you must tell it to me, child.
Mrs. Carlyle isn't in the country.
What? Did she notify us?
Well, apparently not, unless her letter went astray. Anyway, when I rang the North London Centre a few minutes ago, they had checked up on her, and she and her husband are in South America.
South America?
Might just as well be Tibet. It's a business trip, and she and her husband are moving around at a rate of knots.
Yes, well, one has to expect these setbacks. What is the situation now?
We've got seven bottles.
Seven?
And London's sending another three by train, and well, if we get one from that hermit in the Outer Hebrides and another from Glasgow, then we shall have a dozen bottles.
A dozen? That is the minimum. The absolute minimum.
Mrs. Harrison was duly delivered of her twins, and her doctor's hunch had been correct. The babies were premature. Both children contained the antibody in their blood, anti-little E. And immediately they were dubbed little E1 and little E2 in the hospital in Worcester, where they first saw the light of day. Immediately, arrangements were made for both infants to be given complete exchange blood transfusions. In cases like this, it's the only effective treatment if the infant is to survive. The national British press went under the story, and of course, what else? The two tiny scraps of humanity were hailed as the miracle twins.
How's little E1, sister?
Pulse 112, Dr. Whittaker. Breathing good.
Oh, splendid. Mr. Gordon?
Yes, Doctor.
I wanted to ask you why you gentlemen of the national press insist on calling this infant and her twin brother the miracle twins.
Well, I suppose it's because it's a catchy phrase, and, well, it'll be a miracle, won't it, if they both survive?
I'm afraid we doctors don't use the words as freely as reporters.
Miracles do occur, sometimes.
Perhaps, Mr. Gordon, perhaps. Anyway, your question just now. This tiny scrap of humanity you see here is Catherine Harrison. As you probably know, her twin brother John is in the children's special ward.
Yes, I saw him, Governor.
They're both really remarkable infants, you know.
Miracle twins, in fact.
Well, as you're here, Mr. Gordon, you'd better pay attention, because you're the privileged reporter in this case, and you're going to have to explain it all to your fellow news hawks afterwards.
I'll do my best, Doctor.
Please do, Mr. Gordon.
Now, what has appeared in the paper so far about blood groups and rare blood and antibodies has given me nightmares, do you know that?
Well, you just give me the gin in words that I can understand, Doctor, and I'll see that the public understands it.
Right. When a baby is born, he has blood belonging to a certain group. Blood derived from his father and mother in equal parts. Now, some blood groups are extremely rare. One group won't, well, won't mix, if you like, with another.
Yes, I'm with you so far.
If the father's blood group is different from the mother's, it may happen, under rare circumstances, that if some of the cells of the child that carry this property of the father get into the mother while the child is being carried, then the maternal body will set up a reaction against them, or antibody, in fact. Well, in this case, the serum of the mother contains an antibody we call anti-little E.
Ah.
Now, the next thing is this antibody gets into the child and starts to destroy the red cells of the infant's body.
That's what's happened here.
Aye, both for the boy and the girl.
And both these little moppets will die if they aren't given a completely fresh supply of blood.
I'm afraid they will. Well, would have done. There's something we call hemolytic disease.
Mm-hmm.
I must say, little E1 and her brother have made things as complicated as possible by being born prematurely. Well, that's enough talk anyway. We've got work to do.
All set, Doctor.
Well, we ought to be able to get it right this time.
You don't do this sort of thing very often, do you?
You're forgetting we did one yesterday, Mr. Gordon.
Yesterday?
Oh, come on now. On young John.
Oh, of course, yes, I'm sorry. I'd forgotten little Kathy's heart section.
Oh, you reporters, honestly. Pulse, sister.
110, Doctor.
A color good, Doctor.
Splendid, nurse. You see, Mr. Gordon, what we've got to do now is to draw off all or most of the baby's blood and replace it with R2 blood, which has been collected from a number of special donors.
Ah, yes, special donors. These fabulous 20 characters, isn't it? Who are the only people in the whole country who possess this blood.
That's right. You see how rare the stuff is.
Yes, thank
25
you.
25 cc's out, Doctor.
Thank you, nurse.
If some of the donors are ill or away, it doesn't leave very much margin, does it?
I'm afraid it doesn't.
66 cc's in, Doctor.
Good. Pulse, sister?
Pulse steady, Doctor. Mm-hmm. 112 now. Respiration good.
The baby's still nice and pink.
Splendid, splendid.
You just draw the stuff out in a syringe and then shove back some more, is that it?
I suppose you could put it like that, huh? This isn't going to be an easy transfusion, you know. Getting that first 25 cc's out was very difficult indeed. How much in now, nurse?
250 cc's, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Sister?
I'm not over happy about little E1.
I think she's had enough.
She'll require a second transfusion, Doctor.
Yes, it looks like it. Now, we'll stop now, anyway. I want you to give her some streptomycin by injection.
Very good, Doctor.
And some penicillin also by injection. Yes, we'll put a dressing on the umbilicus. I think we'd better take a specimen of the baby's blood for a bilirubin test.
I'll see to it.
All right.
Hello there, Josh.
Just finishing, Alec, for the time being.
For the time being?
Well, it didn't go as well as I expected, you know, Alec.
Oh, that's bad.
I'll do a second transfusion. Bad?
I've just examined the twin.
The boy? What happened?
Josh, I'm afraid little E2 is showing symptoms of jaundice.
Oh, no.
So the boy's going to need a second transfusion, too.
Well, we just haven't got enough blood.
It's going to be very difficult. Very difficult indeed.
Wait, what does the Regional Blood Transfusion Center say?
I rang Heimer the moment I'd examined his lead, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Heimer will do all he can, of course, but whether even he'll be able to get us over this one, well, he's not a miracle worker. Oh, hello, Josh. Hit me with it.
We're halfway there. I've done the second transfusion on little E1.
It's all right?
It's fine. Little Cathy's in the clear.
Then, little E2, the boy's our problem now.
Very much so.
Josh, there just isn't any more R2 in our country.
Oh, but there must be.
No, there isn't, I can assure you, Josh.
What's Heimer doing about it?
Oh, he's working like a demented man. He's been without sleep for nearly 36 hours. Tried all the European capitals where there may be some of the stuff.
And?
Oh, it's just our luck. They're all blacked out by fog.
Yeah, then little E2 just isn't going to make it.
I wouldn't say that, Josh.
Well?
Heimer's raised half a dozen bottles of R2 in New York.
New York?
That's nearer than Cumberland or Cornwall in this weather.
Yes. But when the plane gets over the Atlantic, where's it going to land? I mean, I heard on the radio a few minutes ago that London Airport's also blacked out by fog.
Every fog's got to lift sometime, Josh.
You think this one will lift in time?
We can only hope it will. When's your absolute deadline, Josh?
What's the time now? Let's see. 5:30 a.m. Some profession we're in, aren't we?
That's right.
Now, I've got to have that blood by 10 o'clock this morning. If it reaches here after that, well, that's that.
I'll ring London Airport. British Commonwealth Airlines flying the stuff in. Captain Mellor is the officer on duty. I'd better give him a ring. Well, that's the position, Captain Mallory. Situation is critical. The blood is needed by 10 o'clock this morning. After that, I'm afraid it'll be too late for the child.
Dr. Alison Summers is here.
From the Birmingham Blood Center?
That's right. She's already given me 10 o'clock as an absolute outside limit.
Do you think we...
Look, Doctor, I'm not a magician. I've left my crystal ball at home. I'm sorry, Doctor, but I just can't say. There are too many imponderables.
Yes, I know that.
But one thing's not an imponderable, Dr. Gaunt. If it is humanly possible to get that crate of blood from New York City to you by 10 o'clock, then BCA will do it.
I know that, Captain. Thank you.
I've got a helicopter standing by. It's being driven by one of our better death-defying types.
Helicopter?
Can you land at your hospital?
Well, yes. If we've got a large level lawn in front of the place.
Mark it out, Doctor. Whitewash, fires, flares, anything.
All right. It'll be marked all right, Mallory.
Good. And the best of luck.
What time?
9:17.
They won't make it now.
Oh, you give up too easily, Josh.
Give up?
Dr. Gaunt, Senior Registrar.
Captain Mallory here, Doctor.
Yes, yes.
Relax, Doctor. The stuff's on its way.
Thank heaven.
Unless young Jim Allen and Alison Summers go for a Burton in this weather, well, your blood will be there at, say, at 10 minutes to 10 o'clock.
I don't know how to thank you, Captain.
Fly BCA next time, Doctor. Fly BCA.
I shall. Believe me, I shall.
Minutes pass by all too swiftly. A somber silence seems to fall upon the small hospital. Suddenly it's broken by the sound of a bird. A giant mechanical bird, which drops suddenly from the dark sky to hover like a bird of prey above its victim. But this is no bird of prey. Its flight is one of compassion and mercy.
There it comes now. There it is.
Get the man, Doctor. Where's the trolley?
Here, Doctor.
Get a move on, Jackson. He's landing.
There's one with you, Doctor.
Tell Dr. Whitaker it's here.
Doctor, in the transfusion room, sir. Stand by.
Are we in time?
Yes, Doctor, you are. Just bless you.
It's 10 to 10. That fantastic man said we'd get here by 10
o'clock. Well, let's have the stuff then.
Is it a crate? Jim Allen picked it up from the line. We'll lower it. Stand by. Here it comes.
The blood of that very rare group was in time. And both the miracle twins lived. It was... Well, why not? Let's call it a miracle. You know, if this story and its predecessor last week have interested you, perhaps you could be the cause of a miracle like this one day. Have you ever had your blood grouped? If you haven't, why not drop in at your local blood transfusion center the next time you're passing? Who knows? You may have blood of a particularly rare group that some dying soul is going to need so desperately someday.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.